Wrestling Radio, LockerRoomHQ.com.
Screw you guys. And that guy is too dumb. Think about the booking on that. That explains even less. This was the absolute worst thing I have ever seen any time in my entire life, and now I'm going to go kill myself. Oh, what can you do? All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio here at Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And as always, I am your host, Dirt. Today we're here to talk about WWE Superstars and your spoilerific look at tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into all of that, there are some news and notes from around the world of professional wrestling that perhaps we should talk about. One of the big stories I want to talk about coming out of TNA is that one of their public relations guys was fired this week. Now, as you know, there have been a lot of budget cutbacks recently in TNA. They've been told they have to start trimming things, bringing things under control. And, you know, Hogan and Bischoff have not been the ratings draw that TNA had hoped for, Panda Energy, whoever. So, Dixie Carter was brought a list of names of guys to be cut. She said nope, she didn't want to cut people. Anybody who's on the roster is going to stay on the roster. They will find other ways to cut the budget. Well, as it turns out, you know, they cut David Penzer, but they also cut Ross Foreman. And Ross Foreman was cut a couple weeks ago, but nobody was really told about it. He was a public relations guy, and his job was to put together the TNA trading card deal. And the new set of TNA trading cards just came out a couple weeks ago. And in fact, they came out the day after it was announced that TNA was moving back to Thursday. So you'd think that, well, that really has nothing to do with him. He's a public relations guy. Who cares that TNA moves back to Thursday? Except for the fact that, as a public relations guy, being in charge of the trading cards, he thought, we are making this big push to Monday nights. So I'm just going to make this trading card set centered around the fact that we're moving to Monday nights. And the Monday Night Wars are on again, and Monday night is where we're going to be, and Monday night's our new home, etc., etc., etc. So this entire set of trading cards has text centered around the whole fact that TNA is on Monday nights. And this trading card set came out right after they announced that it was moving back to Thursdays, would no longer be on Monday nights. So everybody in the office was upset about this. They basically blamed him for all the problems, despite the fact that he had nothing to do with the decision to move to Monday night. He had nothing to do with the decision to move back from Monday night. But he had made the trading card centered around Monday night, and so therefore, he was let go. So, imagine that. Another screw-up in TNA. Let's see here. There are news reports coming out now that TNA creative team is trying to push Hogan on every show. Many of them feel like there's a little bit of overkill on Hogan, which I would probably agree with. He's not doing anything to bring in ratings. He's being used, I'll just say terribly and leave it at that. And so they're trying to, you know, only use him where it's important, where he needs to be there. And instead, the directive has come down. Hogan needs to be on every episode of Impact, whether or not it makes sense. So maybe they're trying to justify his paycheck. I'm not sure, but that's what's happening there. Undertaker had surgery on his face, on his damaged orbital bone that happened at the SmackDown tapings a couple weeks ago. He is going to be out probably until SummerSlam. SummerSlam will probably be Undertaker versus Jack Swagger for the title. But of course, you know, it's not set in stone right now because they're not sure. There has been talk about when Undertaker comes back, they may, in fact, reform the Brothers of Destruction tag team, because Undertaker, having gotten injured a couple times and getting, you know, wanting to retire, everything like that, they may put him in the tag team so that he doesn't have to work as hard. So that'll be interesting to see what they can do with that. But, of course, they'd have to find another big team to go against them, because I don't think the Brothers of Destruction versus the Dude Busters, as much as I'd like to see it, is really going to be a ratings draw. Although you never know. If they book it right, it may be the highest rated segment of all time. If they actually announce that they're going to crucify him, murder him on television, it'd be interesting. I like the Dude Busters, but it'd still be interesting. Let's see here. Ted DiBiase Sr. had surgery. Something about when he, in the 90s when he retired, he had neck surgery. He did an interview a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about he had the surgery and he came back and he could have gone back to wrestling, but he thought, I've made a lot of money, I've made a lot of friends, I'm at this point in my life where I have a family, I have kids, it's not worth it. And so that's why he quit wrestling in the 90s. And started his ministry. Well, there was some sort of problem with one of the discs pressing against a nerve. He was having shoulder pain and pain shooting down his right arm, I believe it was. And so they went in to fix the problem. He had two discs removed in his surgery in the 90s. So they were going to do something to realign the discs, fix whatever the nerve problem was. But he's still hoping to make all of his appearances. So if you're hoping to meet Ted DiBiase Sr. at an appearance in the next coming weeks, he still should be able to make those. Something happened with Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon showed up at television tapings this week. This story really hasn't gotten a whole lot of play. I've only seen it mentioned a couple of times, and it seems like something more should be happening here. But he showed up at TV, and he had two black eyes, and he had some sort of cut on his forehead. And it said it looked like he either got into a fight or was in some sort of accident. Everybody was talking about it, like, what happened to Vince? What happened to Vince? Vince got beat up or something? What happened to Vince? Nobody asked him about it. He didn't say anything about it. There was nothing in the news about it. There were no reports of an accident. So it's kind of up in the air what happened here. Nobody really knows what happened to Vince, but he somehow got beat up or injured one way or another. Let's see, the new WWE video game. As you know, SmackDown was the, huge game on the PlayStation, so they did SmackDown versus Raw because the games on the, that were Nintendo-specific started floundering after, the GameCube didn't have the mass appeal the 64 did, so they pushed Raw on the Xbox, and those games were lousy. So they made Raw versus SmackDown. It's the number one WWE game. They try here and there to do some different games. Last year, year before, whatever, they came out with Legends of WrestleMania, which was, it was decent, but it was not anything good, anything special. So they're trying again. They're trying to mix things up. The new one will be WWE All-Stars. The idea, unlike Legends of WrestleMania, where you were kind of redoing these classic WrestleMania matches, this one is actually going to be top stars from the past versus top stars from today. The difference, basically, being that this will be more like a... I don't know if it's going to be cel-shaded necessarily, but it's going to be a little more cartoony. If you remember the Legends of Wrestling, the actual games that came out a couple years ago, that were Hulk Hogan, Jerry Lawler, Road Warriors, it was basically all the Legends guys and independent guys. It's going to be somewhere more along those lines. It's going to be more over-the-top action. I think it's actually going to have some of the, if you ever played the Ultimate Muscle or Galactic Wrestling games, it's going to be somewhere more along those lines where when they hit the mat, there's a flash of light. You hit a punch, there's going to be anime lines, exaggeration lines coming out. That's the current idea. Whether or not that's, follows through all the way to the end, we don't know. But it does sound more interesting, just that we are going to get something different. And let's see, they're saying that it's going to be faster. So, you know, your guys will take damage, but they're not going to sell as long. They're not going to be laying down on the ground as long. There's going to be a lot less grappling, more on strikes, more on the big moves, more on the impact, more like a fighting game as opposed to a wrestling game. But, you know, still have grappling moves in there. So more like an arcade game, I guess, is the best way to say it. More like one of those games that you just kind of sit down and you get into, as opposed to long storylines and working with stats and rosters and that kind of stuff. Alrighty. Well, I think that's about it as far as news goes. The one other thing we should talk about, though, is NXT. NXT, of course, they had the hot angle at the end of Raw where the NXT guys came out, attacked Cena, attacked CM Punk, attacked everybody at ringside. They tore apart the barricades, the announce table, the ring. You know, they just basically just ripped everything apart, made their impact, beat the crap out of Cena forever. And that's how the show ended. So, of course, you'd think that the next night on NXT, something big was going to happen. Also, the Superstars tapings, the reports came out, nothing happened to the Superstar tapings. Superstar tapings were just the same matches. So, but we'll get to Superstars in a minute. However, on NXT, when you would expect something to happen, there was just a little bit of a tie into the storyline. Of course, they recapped what happened on Raw, but then at the end of the show, they just basically had the pros show what happened on Raw, and then they just turned to the new guys. They said, you know, you guys, you better not get any ideas. You better not do the same thing that these guys did. And then they beat the crap out of all the new guys. So that may, in fact, lead to an angle of Season 1, Season 2 working together as a giant roster to take on, you know, the rest of the WWE to further that invasion-type storyline. That would make sense. That would be a lot more interesting. There are a lot of questions right now. People are saying, well, you know, you took a guy like Skip Sheffield, a guy like Michael Tarver. You know, you said these guys were no good. You cut them off of TV. They were eliminated. Now they're out there beating up John Cena and, you know, beating up CM Punk, and how are they supposed to be a threat? Well, because if you noticed, David Otunga did not beat up John Cena. It was eight guys beating up John Cena. That's why, you know, even a bad rookie NXT guy that you say, you know, is a poor wrestler, is not a superstar, doesn't have that superstar level of talent, he can still beat up Justin Roberts. He can still beat up the bell-ringing guy. You know what I mean? It's not that big of a deal. You have two or three of them beating up on Jerry Lawler. Yeah, Jerry Lawler's going to get beat up. You have eight of them beating up on John Cena. John Cena's going to get beat up. So that storyline works. So then if you add the rest of these eight guys, some of them are unproven. You can let them shine by having them get the upper hand on a lot of these attacks and grow the season that way. So I can see it working if they keep working on it. But, you know, again, Season 1 guys did not run out on NXT. Nothing happened on Superstars. Nothing happens on SmackDown. So the question is, well, you know, where are these guys? What's going on? Well, they did a house show. And at the house show, they did have the NXT guys do a run-in. They had originally billed a match. It was supposed to be Miz, Bryan Danielson, and I think Christian and Heath Slater. I don't remember exactly who it was, but basically what ended up happening is they were going to make it the pros versus the NXT rookies tag team after cutting some promos, and instead, you know, the whole roster came out and they just beat the guys up and left. So again, guys like, you know, Christian, guys like Jericho, you're going to say these are bigger guys. They should be able to mop the floor with any NXT rookie, except maybe, you know, if you're going to take a guy like Bryan Danielson or something and say he would get it, well, that's fine. But if you're going to have the eight guys come out and beat them all up at once, you know, then it's fine. It doesn't matter if it's Wade Barrett who won the show or if it's I can't even remember the Black John Cena guy. I can't remember his name. It doesn't matter which one it is who's beating up on him. If all eight guys are there, it's just simply a matter of numbers. It's the Four Horsemen rule. So So there you go. That's what's going on with NXT there. And the thought is that this fight at the house show is actually a dry run for what they're going to do on Raw on Monday. So it does look like the storyline is continuing, and they were getting in some practice for what they're going to be doing at the TV tapings. So there's something for that storyline. And again, I really enjoyed it. I'm really looking forward to all of that. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break right now. And then when we come back, we're going to have your look at WWE Superstars on WGN America.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to popculturenetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at popculturenetwork.com.
Check out www.lockerroomhq.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.popculturenetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.popculturenetwork.com.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt and Comics Corner's reviewer Ryan Porter, along with our newest member Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on The Pop.
And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.popculturenetwork.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back on Wrestling Radio here at Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network, and we're here to talk about WWE Superstars on WGN America. I don't know why I said it like that. I'm sorry. Hopefully I'll never do that again. All right. So the show opened. We got a 5-minute women's match. It was Gail Kim versus Alicia Fox. It was a decent match, and I'll say decent along the lines of I didn't really see a whole lot of screw-ups or anything like I would normally expect, perhaps, in a women's match as of late. Gail Kim, of course, is pretty good. Alicia Fox is, she's Alicia Fox. The match, you know, it wasn't sloppy, necessarily, but it wasn't great. There was nothing to really get you involved in it, but they just kind of went back and forth, did their thing, and it was done. Gail Kim went to climb up top, but Alicia Fox swept the legs, hit her with the scissor kick, and ended up getting the pin. So, good for Alicia Fox, I guess, although generally if I was booking that match, I probably would have had Gail Kim go over. Michael Cole, he said he's going to talk later tonight about the event on Raw that shook the very foundations of this company, which I guess because he ran away and it was all the guys basically gunning for him from the get-go, and he made a run for it that, you know, he's quaking in his boots, but whatever. Let's see here. They talked about WWE.com, bunch of garbage on there. They had Zack Ryder and Primo come down to the ring, tag match against Goldust and Yoshitatsu. Went about 10 minutes, went through a commercial break. Again, it was fine. Nothing special about it. I mean, I guess, you know, there's really no storyline between these guys, so you can't really expect a whole lot. But what it just basically came down to is they had basically everybody get involved at the end. Yoshitatsu, Primo were fighting. Primo grabbed Yoshitatsu, flipped him in a suplex over the top rope. Goldust grabbed Primo, hit a clothesline, knocked Primo out over the top rope. He got the Rough Rider from Zack Ryder, who was actually, I guess he was supposed to be the legal man at this point, but it's one of those where it kind of broke down, so I'm not sure. So he ended up hitting the Rough Rider, got pinned by Zack Ryder. So the woo-woo guy got the pin. This was kind of sloppy. And it didn't really do anything. Zack Ryder got over. And so I don't know if maybe like this is supposed to help Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder got the angle with Ashton Kutcher. He amazingly enough got voted into the tag match on Raw. So, maybe they gave him a pin here so that he can show up on Raw to do some sort of angle and they can actually show him as being like, hey, look, he won a match on Superstars, you know, to add to that type of thing. I would hope that that's the big plan here. A guy like Goldust isn't in there to wrestle to win anyway. A guy like Goldust is there to work with the younger guys and to help them learn how to, you know, work the ring a little bit better. So I'm sure that helps that a little bit, but I'm kind of hoping there's something more with Zack Ryder, because otherwise they've been doing way too much with him lately for him to be just another nobody in the mid-card. Let's see. They talked about the what happened on Raw, and they did, like, the last 10 minutes again. And it was edited a little bit differently, and I think they cut a couple things out just to kind of save time and whatever. But, you know, for the most part, they showed, and it took up a big chunk of the show, just replaying that angle. So that's going to tell you right there that this is a big angle. This is not something that they've decided to, you know, move away from in the last 24 hours. This is going to be a big storyline. They spent a lot of time on it. They cut back to the ring. They had Kofi Kingston come out with Mike McGillicuddy and had him in a match with Luke Gallows. Luke was out there with Serena. About a 10-minute match again. Started out basically doing a bunch of punches. Did some stuff going into the apron, the outside of the ring. Go to a commercial. They come back. They talk about how during the commercial break, it's a WWE, you know, branded commercial that they put in there. And it talks about how on Raw, on Monday, you would see the follow-up to what happened last week with the NXT guys. So apparently the NXT, this is going to be NXT versus the Raw superstars. Apparently there's nothing happening on SmackDown because for whatever reason, the NXT guys just want to make Monday night their night for doing run-ins. And they don't feel like traveling to SmackDown, I guess. I'm not sure exactly how that's supposed to work or why, but whatever. They had Kofi and Gallows. Amazingly enough, I was expecting there to be the masked guy to do a run-in. I was expecting Serena to get involved. It really didn't do any of that stuff. They had Kofi try to do the Trouble in Paradise, but he missed. Gallows hit a clothesline. He went to do the Gallows pole, but Kofi reversed it and then hit the SOS and got the win. So they're really trying to get over that SOS as opposed to the Trouble in Paradise. I don't know if it's an easier move for him to get over or they just think it's time to mix things up to add a little bit to the psychology. But the match, there was nothing wrong with the match, but I think at this point in time, if you're sitting there watching a match with Luke Gallows and Serena, you're assuming that the mystery guy is going to get involved. You're assuming that Serena is going to be somehow part of the mix-up for the ending, especially since Gallows lost. You would think that she would be jumping in the ring and doing something, whatever, but it didn't happen there. So, anyway. It was a solid show. I mean, I don't think there was any really major problem with the show other than the fact that they really pushed that what happened with the NXT guys was a very big deal, but they just didn't do anything with it. They didn't follow up with it. They didn't have the NXT guys run out on Superstars to lay these guys out, which I can understand. I understand the fact that the first two matches were filmed at Raw. So you couldn't have the NXT guys running in and doing something there, otherwise it would give away to the live crowd that something was going to happen on Raw. At the same time, though, the second opening match was on SmackDown. It was with the Straight Edge Society, and they beat up Luke Gallows on Raw when they came out to attack Cena and CM Punk. So you would think it would make sense to film something there because the crowd live watching for Superstars, they can see the NXT guys come in and beat up Luke Gallows, and then they would do something on SmackDown in order to further the story, but apparently not. So, All right. Well, that's going to do it for Superstars. And now we are going to take our spoilerific look at tonight's episode of SmackDown. If you don't want tonight's episode of SmackDown spoiled, then thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys next time. But for everyone else, let's check out Friday Night SmackDown. Okay, well, not a whole lot to this segment. Kind of a long opening promo segment. Rey Mysterio came down, talked about how he beat everybody last week to win the Battle Royal, to win the spot in the Fatal 4-Way match. Couldn't wait to be champion again, which brought out Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger said, you'll never be champion, blah, 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 which brought out CM Punk, who said he will be the fourth time Straight Edge Society champion, which brought out The Big Show, who said he would be champion because he can beat everybody because he's so gosh darn big. And then the arena turned red. Kane's face appeared on the screen. He said he's going to find out who destroyed The Undertaker and took him out of the Fatal 4-Way tournament, and he figured it probably have to be one of those guys, and he will have vengeance upon them, yada, yada, yada. So, pretty much what you'd expect in the opening segment, nothing too special. It wasn't slow. It didn't drag. I was never sitting there going, man, this is going on forever. It was fine, but again, just not really a whole lot to it. Bunch of people talking. They all want to be champion. There you go. All right, our first match of the night is Rey Mysterio versus Jack Swagger in a non-title match. And this was a very long match. It went through two commercial breaks, as a matter of fact. So we're pretty well into the show. We're maybe 45 minutes into the two-hour program before this match is over. So get ready for a long match. And it was actually really good. It was one of those matches, you know, when you watch something on TV and it goes about 7 minutes and people start hitting finishers, or attempting finishers, I guess I should say, then you expect the match is going to be over right then. You don't expect it to keep going. And this is one of those where they really got you with that feeling. They got you a couple times where you think, okay, well, this is going to be it. The match is going to be over. And then they kick out, keep going, or miss the move or whatever. And they had some really nice segments. There was one where Rey Mysterio came off the ropes at Jack Swagger, and Jack just basically grabbed him and continued his momentum, thrust him through the ring ropes out to the outside. Looked like a pretty neat little slide there. Came off really well on TV. But the big finish, the finish was actually pretty good. And it's one of those where if Rey ends up winning at the pay-per-view, they should have saved this for that. I don't think he is, but I'm just saying that if Rey does, this should have been the finish that they used for that. Because what happens is, he eventually goes for the 619. Jack Swagger starts to get up to kind of back off and get out of the way, but Rey swings his feet through anyway and kicks Jack Swagger in the gut. So Jack Swagger kind of hunches over, turns around, and starts walking towards the other side of the ring. So Rey Mysterio does a springboard drop kick onto his back, which pushes him into the ropes on the other side, and he immediately runs through, hits a second 619, this time hitting him in the face. Then does the springboard to hit the leg drop and ends up getting the pin on Swagger. And in fact, Swagger even attempts to kick out but can't get enough momentum to get out of it. So really showed a good, you know, Rey had to double up in order to beat the champion, beat the bigger guy, which is good, which is good. It played very well to the difference in strength and size and showed that, you know, if someone like Big Show could get isolated and taken out or whatever, Rey does have an opportunity to win at the Fatal 4-Way. So, you know, I thought the match worked. Again, it was long, and because it was long, every time after a while, every time they start trying to hit finishers and doing whatever, then you assume that the match is going to be ending, and it kept going, so it added some good drama. So good opening match, long match, lots of good wrestling. So then, of course, after the match, Rey Mysterio is celebrating, and Swagger gets mad, attacks him from behind, starts beating him up. Kane's music hit, and Kane came down to the ring. And Swagger just keeps beating on Rey, doesn't want to leave, so Kane grabs him, hits him with a chokeslam, picks up Rey, hits Rey with a chokeslam, lays them both out, and of course the announcers point out the fact that these guys who are going to be fighting at Fatal 4-Way are fighting for what Kane feels should be the Undertaker spot to win back the Undertaker's championship. So basically Kane fighting on behalf of the Undertaker here, taking out the other guys, and yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. That was a good match. I was pretty happy with that. And long matches are always good, especially if they can keep going and they can build momentum and they can build interest like this one did. So a lot of times on these long matches, it feels like it goes too long. Like there's a point where it'd be perfect to stop it, and then they keep going, and then they lose the crowd and it slows down. But no, not with these guys. This was pretty good. Thumbs up on that one. Okay, women's match next. We had Tiffany versus Layla. And, of course, Michelle McCool and Layla came out first. They had Caval from NXT with them. Senshi, Loki, however you know him. And cut a promo, basically said that the place stinks, everybody's ugly. Layla said, I can't believe people gave birth to you people. And then, of course, Michelle McCool goes, hey, settle down. My parents are out there. And they cut to these two old people sitting in the crowd who are apparently Michelle McCool's parents. Let's see. Then they had Tiffany come out with Kelly Kelly at ringside. They mentioned that Kelly Kelly's mom is somewhere out in the crowd, but apparently they didn't have a camera on her. But the two of them had a match. It was... it was fine. Like, I expected a little bit of slop, a little bit of mess on it, and it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad, really. But the big thing was that Tiffany, towards the end, it looked like she hurt her leg. She was up on the second rope fighting with Layla. She fell down, landed on her leg wrong, may have twisted her ankle or something. But she appeared to be limping on it for the rest of the match, which the rest of the match was only like another 45 seconds or 60 seconds, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But Michelle McCool jumped up on the apron for the distraction, so Tiffany ran over and knocked her off, turned around, and got hit by the layout from Layla. Layla got the pin and celebrated. And, of course, Caval, the whole time, he had to hold their belts. They made fun of him. He looked like he was bored. He was annoyed. He didn't want to be around them. So they, continued to play that joke. And that was pretty much it. So, and the other big thing, of course, is they hyped again that you were going to see the NXT footage. They did it once earlier in the night. That shocking footage of the assault. Over a million people have watched it on WWE.com, the assault that happened at the end of Raw from the NXT guys. Stay tuned. So apparently that's next. And in fact, it was next. The whole entire next segment was basically that. They just opened up. Matt Stryker just kind of said, hey, guys, not cool, picking on the ring guys, picking on security, whatever like that. They showed the footage. I think it was the same cut from Superstars. Super long, another, 10-minute filler of everything that happened at the end of Raw, that entire thing. Again, maybe re-edited in a couple spots to cut out something, but for the most part, just that same long piece of footage came back. And Matt Stryker said that, the one thing it's done is it's put everybody in the locker room on edge. So they hear a noise, they hear, something crash, everybody's heads flipping around trying to figure out what the sound is. You don't know who's coming through, what's going on. But it's probably going to bring up the intensity in the WWE as the guys are now ready for the challenge. If these new guys want to bring it on, then just bring it. And there you go. So definitely pushing to continue that feud, even though nothing about it actually happens on SmackDown, apparently, from what I've been told. I haven't watched the whole show yet. But we're getting there. We're getting through the show. So that was that whole segment looking at NXT, and went to another commercial break. All right, folks. This show is edited together in such a way that it all seems like one, fluid thing for you. It's been 3 hours since I did that last segment. Yeah, 3 hours. Let me tell you something. If you have kids, if it's high 80s outside and there's a pool in your yard, you cannot say no to your kids playing in the pool. I mean, you can say no to your kids playing in the pool, but it will be the worst day of your life. Trust me, kids know how to make your life a living hell. But finally, down for naps, so maybe we can finish up the show here. I was doing pretty good time, too. I was going to have the show up by like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and now it's already 3 o'clock. So some of you can listen to the news before the show actually airs tonight. Good. I'm glad this happened. So anyway, All right, next segment, Christian versus Dolph Ziggler. They had Christian come out first. Vicky Guerrero came out a moment later. She introduced who she called the future of the WWE, since Drew McIntyre is now apparently in the toilet. And out comes Dolph Ziggler. They actually had a little 5-minute match, and it was really good. It was a lot of fun watching those two. These two have been feuding for a little bit now, and this is turning out to be a fun little feud between those two guys. Of course, I do like Dolph Ziggler. Most of you guys like Christian. So for me, you know, I mean, I like Christian too, don't get me wrong, but I know a lot of you guys don't really care for Dolph Ziggler, but you like Christian. And this match was fun, but it was a little too short. Like I said, it's about a 5-minute match. It could have used a couple more minutes, but anyway. Dolph Ziggler, let's see, He had a sleeper, but Christian got out of it, tried to go for a kill switch. Ziggler bumped out. Christian ended up going up top, hit a sunset flip, and caught Ziggler for the flip pin there. So, of course, as soon as it's over, the Gate Crashers, Vance Archer, Kurt Hawkins come in, beat the crap out of Christian. They start to leave. Vicky Guerrero is sitting at ringside applauding. Then Ziggler decides, she's applauding for them, so I better do something. So he grabs Christian, puts him in the sleeper, and just basically leaves him in the sleeper until Christian flat passes out, drops him. Vicky gets in, congratulates Ziggler. The two of them kind of stare at each other for a minute, and then he gives her a big warm hug. and it's kind of played off this idea, like, Vicky thinks he's going to go for a kiss or something, but instead he goes for a hug. So it's like he's closer to giving in, but he doesn't quite give in to Vicky's advances yet. But there you go. They cut to backstage. They had Kane. He was in the back. He had a coffin. The lights were red. He put flowers on the coffin, talked about vengeance. Just basically talked about his brother being dead again, as if Undertaker is gone from the show forever. So, you know, whatever. It's kind of like the same thing that opened last week, where it's goofy. It's so incredibly goofy that if you're into the goofy stuff, you might think it's cool. For everybody else, you're just going to be like, oh, God, why are they still doing this? So, all right, next segment. So, Drew McIntyre calls out Teddy Long. Teddy Long comes out. Tries to talk. Drew McIntyre interrupts him, shows a clip of Matt Hardy beating him up. Okay? Comes back. Teddy Long tries to say something. Drew McIntyre stops him, says some stuff, shows a clip of Matt Hardy beating him up. So Teddy Long tries to say something. Drew McIntyre interrupts him, shows the clip from Raw. The Viewer's Choice Special, they picked the Mystery Man. Mystery Man was Matt Hardy. Showed Matt Hardy beating the crap out of Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre then says that, per the instructions of Vincent Kennedy McMahon, Matt Hardy is not only banned from SmackDown, he is banned from Raw and all WWE programming. Then he also says he has another announcement to make, and he gets right in Teddy Long's face, and he starts to say something when Kofi Kingston's music hits. Excuse me. Kofi Kingston comes out and just basically says, we're all tired of listening to you whine. There was a lady in the crowd holding a Pooh McIntyre with a picture of a crying baby, and he pointed to that. He said, the popcorn guy is sick of listening to you cry about it. You know, this guy's sick of listening to you cry about it. He basically gets in the ring. He says, you got to earn respect. You can't, you know, just expect everybody to give it to you. Excuse me. The two of them, you know, get face to face, nose to nose. They end up getting into a brawl. McIntyre starts to have the upper hand on Kofi, but Kofi reverses it, sends McIntyre to the outside, and then celebrates in the ring being this, you know, I don't know. He is the champion, so he's celebrating the fact that he's got the championship belt that he took from McIntyre. So it looks like they had this storyline with Matt Hardy, and they're trying to push Matt Hardy out of the storyline now so that they can do it with Kofi Kingston. Have Kofi Kingston and Drew McIntyre continue to fight, and they want to write Matt out of it. And interestingly enough, Matt Hardy wrote on his, I don't know, was his Twitter or Facebook recently that there's a lot of stuff he wants to accomplish, but the fans have got to let Vince McMahon know about it. So apparently this was going to be more of a Matt Hardy storyline, and Matt is out at the moment. So I guess we'll just have to see what happens with that. I don't think they would ever, you know, completely drop Matt Hardy. You know, the fans continue to give him a great reaction, even though I know Vince has said he's concerned about Matt Hardy's physical appearance. He's gaining some weight in the midsection, that type of thing. So interesting there to see the turn of events. But right before it goes to commercial, it does show Big Show heading to the ring. It's going to be Big Show versus CM Punk as the other half of the Fatal 4-Way facing off on SmackDown. All right, final match of the night, Big Show versus CM Punk. CM Punk, of course, came down with the Straight Edge Society, had Serena, Luke Gallows there with him. Big Show, basically they just did a bunch of funny comedy spots to open up the match. They had Big Show towering over CM Punk, you know, hiding. Oh, good, I hope you heard that. That was my netbook turning off. Had CM Punk, you know, trying to hide in the corner. He would, you know, put his upper body through the ropes so that the ref would have to pull Big Show off of him. Did a lot of stuff where Big Show would go to throw a punch, and he would cringe and duck and hide and run away, and he'd run around behind Big Show and then try to slap him from behind and then run off. And it seemed to work for a while until Big Show, of course, finally gets his hands on CM Punk, starts to manhandle him. Eventually throws him to the outside, and CM Punk huddles with the Straight Edge Society. They start talking about whatever. Eventually, CM Punk, Big Show back in the ring. They're going back and forth until finally, Big Show grabs CM Punk, and I think he's getting ready for a choke slam. Is that what's going on? No, he goes for the mask. He the crowd starts chanting, "Take it off, take it off, take it off." So he throws CM Punk in the middle of the ring and grabs the mask and starts to pull it off CM Punk's head. So at this point, Luke Gallows and Serena jump in the ring. The masked guy jumps in the ring. They all beat up on Big Show. They do a Big Show beatdown for a minute or so until finally Kane's music hits. So Kane comes down to the ring, and of course, Kane gets in the ring, has a face-off with all four of them. CM Punk throws Gallows and the masked man right into Kane, and then he and Serena bail. Book, get the heck out of there. Masked Man and Luke Gallows both take choke slams in the middle of the ring. Kane stops, looks around, takes a look at Big Show, decides what the heck, picks up Big Show, gives Big Show a pretty terrible looking choke slam in the middle of the ring. Then he does his fire thing, fire shoots out of the ring post, the lights turn red, and the show goes off the air. So, I'm not a big fan of the ending. I thought the match with CM Punk and Big Show was actually really fun. Of course, you know, they goofed around for a big part of it, and that, you know, at least made it interesting, because no one's going to take Big Show seriously as a wrestler, so when they don't take the match too seriously, at least, you know, made it interesting, made it fun. However, having Kane come out, I just really don't see where this is going. Unless Kane is going to come out in the middle of their Fatal 4-Way match, but then you're left in a without a winner. Where do they go from there? You're not going to have Kane versus Swagger for the title. That's not what this is even about. So the only other thing I can think is, you know, Undertaker, he had surgery. There's nothing he can do. He's out for a while. So it's not like the Brothers of Destruction are going to appear and reform in the middle of the Fatal 4-Way match, taking out those guys. So I don't see, maybe you guys have some theories on what this is leading to, but I just don't see it leading to anything. Just, you know, Kane is a jerk. That's what this comes down to. Kane is a jerk. That's what I'm going to title this episode. Kane is a jerk. That's this episode of SmackDown. All right. Well, that's going to do it. That's for the whole episode. A lot of fun stuff. Actually, you know, the beginning of the show, a lot better than the end of the show. But, you know, Ziggler Christian was actually a lot of fun. And, of course, Ray Swagger was a lot of fun. So, some good stuff in there overall. But, I don't know, main event just, I guess the main event was okay. Just the ending didn't do it for me. So, I want to thank you guys for listening. There is a TNA pay-per-view this weekend. I think it's this weekend, isn't it? Who knows? Who pays attention to things like that anymore? But we'll cover it quickly. Probably just do it with the Monday wrap-up of Raw. Toss it in on that. So you can get some of the results from that, but I don't think we're going to do it right away or anything, because even though it is Slammiversary, which is supposed to be their big show, what are they going to do that's big? Unless they do something super big and we do it as like a breaking news audio update thing. Otherwise, we're just going to throw it on Raw because it's TNA. Who cares? All right, guys, that's going to do it. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.